Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I will remind you again that if you ever desire any of our CDs, they are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. Whenever you write, write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come together again to continue our journey through the book of Revelation. And today, Lord, we have come to a message that is extremely encouraging. And so I pray that we would all be attentive, that we would be tuned in, Lord, that all the problems or anything planned for the week or the day would be pushed aside, and Lord, that our focus would be completely upon your word. So take the message today, use it to glorify yourself. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open to Revelation chapter 19 again. Revelation chapter 19. The last time we were together in Revelation 19, we talked about how this chapter takes us from the darkness of judgment into the glorious light of the return of Jesus Christ to set up his kingdom here on this earth. This chapter contains one of the greatest events that will ever take place, and that's the return of Christ. It's what creation looks for and longs for. This chapter opens with heavenly praise as the inhabitants of heaven understand the judgments are over and the kingdom is about to be set up. God is praised for salvation in the beginning of this chapter. God is praised for judgment. God is praised because he reigns. God is praised for the marriage of the Lamb. Watch verse 7 if you would. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The last time we were together, we looked at how the Jewish pictures the plan of God for the church. It's a picture of the salvation of the for you and I. Number one was the betrothal and the establishment of the marriage covenant. In Jesus' day, this would take place when the bridegroom would take the initiative and he would travel from his father's house to the home of the prospective bride, where he would negotiate with the father over the young woman to determine the price that was to be paid to purchase her. Once the bridegroom paid the purchase price, the marriage covenant was established and the young woman and the man were considered to be husband and wife. Now, as a symbol of the marriage covenant that had been established, the groom and the bride drank from a cup of wine over which the betrothal benediction had been pronounced. In the same way, Jesus came to the earth and he paid the price for the bride. He died on the cross and his blood was the payment. He announced that he was establishing a new covenant and his blood would ratify that covenant. Matthew 26:26-28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, or New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So that was the betrothal period. Then you had the preparation of a dwelling place. The groom would then leave his bride, and he would go back to the father's house. He would be there. As he would be there, he would prepare a place for his bride and himself to live. This was usually done in a 12-month period, and during this time, the bride would prepare herself for the married life as the groom prepared the house. Then you had the return of the bridegroom. When the living place was prepared, the groom would usually return at night for his bride. The groom, best man, and other male escorts left the groom's father's house and conducted a torch-lit procession to the home of the bride. Although the bride was expecting her groom, she didn't know the exact time he would return. He would, however, announce his return with a loud shout, which forewarned his bride to prepare for his coming. John 14, 2 and 3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The fourth point, the return to the Father's house. Once the groom claimed his bride, they would return to the Father's house where the wedding guests were assembled. This will take place for us when the rapture happens. And the wedding guests in heaven will be the Old Testament saints that are there now, that await the church. Number five, the consummation of the marriage. Shortly after their arrival at the Father's house, the bride and the groom were escorted by others of the wedding party into the bridal chamber. Prior to the entering of the bridal chamber, the bride remained veiled so that no one could see her face. While all others waited outside, the bride and the groom entered the bridal chamber alone. There in the privacy of that place, they entered into a physical union for the first time, thereby consummating the marriage that had been covenanted approximately 1 year earlier. After the marriage was consummated, the groom came out of the bridal chamber and announced the consummation of the marriage to the wedding party members waiting outside. The wedding party then went to the wedding guests to announce the consummation, and they all remained at the Father's house for the next 7 days, celebrating with a great wedding feast. The groom, however, went back to his bride in the bridal chamber and remained hidden for 7 days. After the 7 days, they both came out, and her veil was removed so that all could see who she was. This will take place for us, the church, after the 7 years of tribulation. And when Revelation 19, when the sky breaks open and Jesus returns to earth, we will be known by the world. We will be unveiled, so to speak. Right now, the world does not know who we are. They don't understand our value. They don't understand that we are royalty. They don't understand that we belong to God. They don't know that. But someday they will. Someday the world will know who we are. They will understand that we are the bride. We are the wife of Christ. They will understand that. That brings me to where we're at today. The apparel of the bride. Watch verse 8. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen." Now watch this, clean and white. "For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." Here we're told that the church is arrayed in fine linen and it's white. And then we're told that this is the righteousness of the saints. Now the idea here is that this is the righteousnesses of the saints. Let me explain what this means. When we rest our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and we're saved, we are covered in righteousness. It's imputed to us. Before we are saved, we have no righteousness of our own. Romans 3:10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 11, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all going out of the way, they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." There is nothing righteous about us before salvation, and there is nothing good in us before salvation. Romans 7:18 says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." So there's nothing good in us. There's no righteousness in us. But when we are saved, we are then made righteous. Romans 3, 22 through 24. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ," listen to this, "unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." When we were saved, we are justified. And that means that God removes our sins from our account, and he imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to our account. So we are given his righteousness, but that is not what is referred to here in Revelation 19. That's not the idea. We're covered in his righteousness the moment that we are saved. But in Revelation 19:9, the Bible's speaking of the righteous acts of the saints. Let me show you some other verses to read for you. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In these works that will make up the garments of the church, they are already foreordained. It is in those works of Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. It is in those works that make up the garments of the church. But there's more here to be considered. Watch verse 7 of Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Here we see that the church will have made herself ready. Let me show you something that's going to happen after the rapture. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. According to the grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as yet by fire. All of the works, listen to this, all of the works of the believers will be tried by fire. And when the judgment seat of Christ is over, we'll all be there, by the way. You're not going to miss that. If you know Christ as Savior, you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for your sin, because your sin was judged at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And for us to be judged for our sin will be double jeopardy. God's not going to do that. You are not going to be judged for your sin. Your works are going to be judged. Your works are going to be judged. So all the believers' works will be tried by fire when the judgment seat of Christ takes place. And when it's all over, all that will be left will be those works that are pure. This will be the righteousnesses of the saints which make up our apparel. Okay, now listen. Once the works are exposed to fire, those that were done for the wrong motives, for the wrong reasons, will be burned up. Only the pure works will be left. That's how we make ourselves ready. We are there. The dross gets burned away, so to speak. We are left with only the works that are pure. And in verse 8, I'm going to read it again. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, the righteousnesses, so to say, meaning the works of the saints. What we do now, how we serve the Lord now, has a lot to do with the way that we will be clothed then. Now, that's not to say this, that somebody's only going to have a loincloth on and another person's going to be dressed in a long flowing garment. It's not the case. And there's not going to be any pride involved here. No pride at all. One person's not going to look better than the other person. Not like it is today. It's not a competition. Not at all. We won't realize that, but we will understand that the works that we did, the works that would survive the judgment seat of Christ, those that were done with the right motives, for the right reasons, will be preserved in the fire. They will contribute to the way that we are clothed when we come back. It brings me to point number two, the wedding guests. Watch 19:9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. This is the fourth pronouncement of blessing in the book of Revelation. There are seven total. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Revelation 14:13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This verse before us is the fourth blessing. This is a book of blessings. Here we see that those who are called or invited to the marriage supper are blessed. But who are these invited guests? It cannot be the bride, for the bride is someone who sends out invitations. Nor can it be the groom, for he does the same. These are wedding guests. Let me answer the question of who they are by looking at a few verses. Matthew 8, Jesus had a conversation with a Roman centurion. We can gather some insight from that conversation. Matthew 8, 10 through 12, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now listen. The children of the kingdom are Jews who refused the invitation. They're Jews who refused Christ. They refused their Messiah. And so the invitation was extended to all nations. The invited guests that are blessed here are all those who have accepted the invitation. They will be made up of two distinct groups. Group number one, all the Old Testament saints. This will be people like Adam and Eve and Noah and Moses and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Joseph, Daniel, and so on and so forth, and Samson, all of those. These people will be resurrected at the end of the Great Tribulation, and they will enter the kingdom with glorified bodies. The believers who were alive from the day of Pentecost until the rapture are part of the bride, but those who have died before Pentecost will be the wedding guests, those of the Old Testament. They will be wedding guests. They're not part of the bride. Listen to what John the Baptist said in John 3, 27 through 29. It says this, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. John would die before Pentecost, and therefore he was not part of the bride, but he would be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's part of that group. So, that group is made up of those which are called unto the marriage supper. Number one, two distinct groups. Number one, the Old Testament saints. Number two, listen to this. All those who will be saved during the tribulation period. All those who are saved during the tribulation period. We could say it this way to cover those two groups. Anybody outside of the church age that was saved will be a part of that group that is invited, that has accepted the invitation. But the Old Testament saints, Revelation 24:6, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These are Old Testament saints. They didn't receive the mark of the beast, so they are tribulation saints. I said Old Testament saints. They are tribulation saints, and they will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead are the unsaved. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The Old Testament, all the Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected here. And there will be as well as the Old Testament saints, both those who died and who survived in the tribulation. Some will be there with glorified bodies, some with natural bodies. There will be Jews and Gentiles at the wedding supper. There will be both. It'll be, I guess you could say it this way, sort of a mixed multitude in that sense. Let me get you down to a conclusion. Can you just imagine what this gathering is going to be like when we come back with Christ and we go to the wedding reception? Have you ever attended a large wedding reception and sit down and tried to figure out who everybody is as you look around? Who's this person? Who are they related to? At the great wedding supper of the Lamb, listen to this. We're going to see all the Old Testament saints. You can sit down and you can talk with them. By the way, we are going to be to the praise of His glory, of His grace. We're going to be paraded around as trophies of grace. Because of what we were saved from. Not because of us, but because of Christ. And so we will be the attraction. You know how the bride's always the attraction at the reception? That's us. That's us. That's what we have to look forward to. And we can reminisce with the Old Testament saints. They will want to talk with us. Adam and Eve and Enoch. Seth and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Daniel and David and Moses and Aaron, Samson, right on through to the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Hosea, all of those, Solomon, all of those. We will be able to reminisce with them. We will be right there at the same celebration with them. You want to know, you know this, you go to a wedding and the wedding lasts, I don't know, maybe a half hour or so. Then the reception lasts hours. The wedding will take place in that 7-year period while the tribulation is going on here. Christ returns. You want to know how long this celebration will last? About 1,000 years. About 1,000 years. A reception 1,000 years long. Remember the wedding picture. There's a wedding, then there's a consummation, followed by a reception. Then eventually they all go home. They all go home afterwards. So will we. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Listen to this. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That's our home. So when it's over, when the reception's over, when the 1,000-year reign of Christ is over, this world will be destroyed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth created. That'll be our eternal home. And I could add these words, and we will live happily ever after. No more problems, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more crying, no more separation, no more heartache, no more viruses, no more restrictions. It'll all be new. It'll all be new. Revelation 21:5, again, he sat on the throne and said, "Behold, I make all things new." I make all things new. That's what we have to look forward to. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Christ as Savior? Because if you don't, this doesn't pertain to you. You have none of this to look forward to. It's only those of us who know Jesus Christ, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that have accepted Christ as Savior, that believe that He took our place upon the cross, died for us and was buried and rose again the third day. Only those that repent and come to Christ will have a part of this. That's all. If you don't know Christ, if you have not come to Him and you have not repented and you die in your sins, you will go to the lake of fire for all eternity, not to a new heaven and a new earth. You need Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Him, make today the day of salvation. Call out to Him today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, I remind you that if you ever would desire a CD of our programs, all you need to do is write to us. Include the date of the program you desire. CD's free. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.